Hey everyone, thank you all so much for listening to Audible Sounds. And that was the dungeon synth artist Longsword, with the tracks Beneath the Dark Arcane Caverns and The Spell Sword's Courage and Oath, off of the album Lair of Swords and Serpents. And before them, we had some classic goth sounds from Svetlana Niano, with the third track off of her classic 1994 album, Transylvania Smile. And if that wasn't gothy enough for you, then perhaps you'll enjoy our final track of the evening. This is the latest track from Russian darkwave band Molchat Doma, with their track simply entitled Sun. But before we go, just a reminder that you can catch the show every Thursday at 4 p.m. right here at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh.
line in it that says, "You broke my heart trying to fix it. I'm about to make it a living. Forget it." And I remember whenever I wrote that, I was like, okay, like, I'm really going to do, this is like it for me, you know? Releasing that was also an emotional release for me, I'd say. It was very scary because I was like, it's very vulnerable to put out music and to let people into that part of you and to introduce, you know, I think whenever anyone does anything or introduces a new endeavor that they're doing, that was very nerve-wracking. Versus Religious was more exciting, and that was more like a celebration of, yay, I'm releasing this, you know. Religious, I'd say the making of it, I remember whenever I made that, I was in the studio with some very amazing people. I was super nervous. And usually whenever I'm making a song, it either comes from a phrase that I'm stuck on or a word or something. And that week, I kept thinking about the word religious and how, like, you can be religious about certain things, whatever. So that's how Religious was born. Releasing that, I think it's always nerve-wracking because, again, you're letting people into, like, your mind, but you just have to get comfortable with that being an artist. So, yeah,
for sure. So you talked about how, like, you get stuck on, like, a specific phrase or a word. Would you say that to you, like, lyricism takes more of a priority than the production or, like, a beat, or are both kind of equal?
I think both, but it also depends. Like, whenever you're making a song, you either start with a beat or an idea. It kind of is different each song or record that you're making. But I wouldn't say that either is more important than the other, but at least for me as a creative, I have, like, my notes are filled. I have, like, over 1,000 notes. I think a lot of people do, but mine are, like, so, I mean, if someone looked through them, they'd think I was insane. I just, like, will write something. And then it just makes you feel something someone said. And, but the production is incredibly important because there's some people that listen to lyrics. There's some people who listen to the beat, you know?
Yeah.
I am someone who listens to the beat. I hear that before I hear the lyrics. I feel like you know what the song is saying before you read the lyrics, if you get what I'm saying. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that one is more important than the other, no.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But you also said that you have, like, 1,000 things in your notes.
Yeah. Should I check? I bet you it's, like, 1,000.
Go for it. I mean, like, I know that, like, making music and art takes a long time, and a lot of musicians always have, like, a ton of unreleased.
1,600.
1,600?
1,608. I just cleaned it out, too.
Cleaned it out, too?
Like, a month ago.
Oh, my God.
It's all organized.
Wow. That is so much.
Lots of thoughts.
That's kind of insane, though. Wow.
Yeah.
So, like, that's all that just, like, unreleased in your notes, right?
Yeah.
And, like,
it'll be, like, songs or video ideas or, like, concepts or, like, honestly, like, if I'm in a conversation with someone, they'll say something that just catches me. And I think everybody kind of has it, though. Sometimes some people would just say that just sticks with you. But
yeah,
I just write it. And then whenever I'm creating whatever beat I have, it has to match that feeling that I got when I heard that or felt it or thought it.
Gotcha.
You know?
So how do you know which one is, like, the one that you want to, like, craft something around it? Or, like, when do you know, like, something is finished?
Okay, this sounds so stupid, but it's literally just, like, a feeling. Like, it just feels right. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, it caught me. So if I can do this correctly and I can produce this correctly, I hope that it'll catch and touch other people. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like that feeling, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's the simplest sentence that makes you sit there and ponder, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
So music in general, like, is really impactful in a lot of people's lives.
Absolutely.
Would you say, like, it's an outlet for your emotions? And,
absolutely.
Like, does it feel cathartic to you when you're writing your lyrics?
Absolutely. It's very vulnerable, and I feel like I'm still working on that, is writing things I'm scared of and things, you know what I mean? But it's a way to, I feel like I learn about myself through what I'm creating. Like, let's say I'm like, oh, I hate this person, and I will start a song. Like, that's why you can never start a creative project like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it about this, because I'll go in with that intention and come out with a completely different outcome. And it's like, I learn about myself. I'm like, oh, that's how I was feeling. You know what I mean? So absolutely, it's an emotional outlet.
Like, a lot of self-reflection, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard being in your feels all the time.
Yeah. I got you. So this is also just, like, the start of your music career. You're very young and you're releasing so much.
Thank you.
How did you get into like creating music in the first place?
So I started whenever I was 16. During COVID, I had like my favorite parts of songs that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted them all right next to each other.
Yeah.
So I made a mixtape, and that got put on SoundCloud. But the only reason why I put it on SoundCloud was because I wanted to send it to people because I had spent so long on it.
Yeah.
And then it got, like, a really good reaction, which I was really surprised about, and just kept making them. It just stuck. You know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those things that just has never left me.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. Okay. One thing led to another. I started adding, I was doing that on iMovie.
And iMovie?
I would screen record the songs on YouTube, put them in iMovie, detach the audio. Like, really, like,
wow.
I don't even know the word for it, but really just grinded that out. Now I can't even imagine doing that. But I did it on there, and then my friend came home from college, and she was like, oh, I have this software that I got. She was in creative design or something.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, it's for music. We should try it. So I was like, not going to work. Like, I like my iMovie.
Yeah.
We started doing it on there. It got so much fun. I started adding my own voice into it because I was like, oh, I want this person to hold this note longer. I wish they would have said this. So started, like, adding my own lyrics and, like, I don't know. It was really natural, though, how it came about. Then I was adding so much of my own voice into it, like with voice memo, that I was just like, whatever, I'm going to make my own music.
So, I've had enough. I got to do it myself.
Yeah, I was like, wait, no, it's my turn. So that's how I got to making my own music.
I'm so surprised they used iMovie, though. I feel like that's like a platform not many musicians use at all.
I had no idea what to use, though. Like, I would make like videos whenever. I think everybody's had their run with iMovie at one point or another, you know? But I was like, that's the only thing I know where you can like move audio around. I didn't know anything. I didn't know about GarageBand. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I'm also I don't like to look things up, which is really bad. Like, I just want to figure it out. Like, if I know a way to do it, even if it's going to take longer and be harder, I'll do it that way. So whenever I was 16, I was just like, whatever.
If it works, it works.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked. And then I went on, it was a like 18 minute long video on my phone. And I was like, I need to make this.
18 minutes.
Yeah. I was like, I need to make this into an MP3.
Yeah.
So made that and then put it on SoundCloud. So yeah.
Speaking of like just on SoundCloud in general, like you mentioned your mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking into your SoundCloud and like off that playlist, I personally loved Missed Your Phone Call. So
that makes me so happy.
And you have like songs like I believe 6 Inch by Beyonce featuring The Weeknd.
Yes.
And Where This Flower Blooms by Tyler the Creator.
Yes, love that.
Do you, like, have any, like, particular inspirations from, like, artists in general with these songs? Or, like, how did you pick the particular songs in general?
Yeah, so usually it starts, I'll be, like, driving in my car listening to music. And then I'll be, like, singing. I'll, like, mentally mixtape it in my car. And I'll write it down and be like, ooh, this song would be really sick next to this song. Or this song, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever I'll usually start with, it just builds up until I have, like, a ton of ideas. And I'm like, like having a baby, like I can tell whenever I'm like, I'm ready, like to start making a mixtape. So then once I'm actually making it, though, you can kind of just, okay, this is like, again, like there's a better way to explain this for sure, but you kind of just feel it. Like you're like, okay, this needs to go into this song, or it's a feeling. I don't know.
No, I get it.
You know
it.
What I mean? Yeah. Like you can just, you hear it. It's just something you hear.
I feel like a lot of artists in general always have like this moment of realization or some kind of like moment where like this is it.
Yes. Yeah. Like there's a lot mixtaping specifically because there's millions and millions of songs and there's so many songs that I love and there are songs even that I really want to put in a mix, but it just doesn't hit the same way a different one would. You know what I mean? Like I'm pretty sure you were talking about 6 Inch. That wasn't even good. I didn't even really listen to that song. My friend was like, ooh, you should try to put this in.
Yeah.
I think it was Vibing Out by O. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but that song was in that mix. I remember. It was so long ago. It was like 3 years ago. But that, I love that. It's one of my favorite songs ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been in a mix because it just didn't fit and didn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, I think that it's just like whatever hits you feel, it's like an aha moment.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that makes sense.
I think also, like, the general idea of you, like, making something that you haven't heard is, yeah. like, pretty incredible because, yeah. like, that means you have to build it from the base.
Yeah.
Because there's no inspiration from taking that, like, for example, that song vibe in out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say for putting them next to each other, it's different because I've also personally never heard people, mixtapes have been around forever, but they're always like a party mix or they're this yeah. or they're like an R&B mix and they don't really mean anything. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, my mixtapes are kind of like a journey and a story.
Yeah.
So, and putting my favorite artists next to each other is like, I don't know. It's interesting because I feel like it tells so much into my life. I think for anybody, like if you get in the car with someone and you pay attention to the songs they're playing, they may not even realize it, but that's what they're going through and that's what they're thinking about and that's what vibe they're on. You know yeah. what I mean? Music affects us so much and people don't even realize.
Yeah. Especially, even in this like radio station, yeah. everyone has like a specific genre or yeah. something they listen to in general.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy how wide of a range it is.
Right. And like what touches people, you know right. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like what music people like. Like I know hate, but I don't like country. I get it.
I feel you. I feel you so much.
I get it. I get why people like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, but even if you take like a album, for example, like my favorite, it's going to be different than your favorite.
Correct.
And it's just like the energy in that song and what the artist was saying. And I don't know. I think music, I remember just I think like a month ago I was with my friend and I was telling her, I was like, I don't know why, but I literally swear to God, I was like on my period or something. I was like, I'm so sad all the time for like the past like week. She was like, you're listening to Billie Eilish every day. Like, that's why, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like music really affects the frequencies that are going on within us. You know what I mean? So it's
for sure.
like, listen to some house once in a while.
Listen to some house. Speaking of house though, on your Instagram,
yeah.
I saw that you have like a post with you DJing CDJs.
Yeah.
Is that something like a hobby you picked up or like something you did before producing music?
Yeah. That came after. That okay. was kind of like, okay, I make mixtapes. I kind of need to know how to DJ. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But even then, that's still like, I don't think I would ever get into like, I might, I don't know, but I don't have the desire to like be a DJ.
Gotcha.
But I would really love to incorporate that in shows because I mixtape, so I
yeah.
might as well do like that. Was at my first show I ever did. It was in Philly.
Okay.
Yeah. And the mixtapes are such a big part of me. I was like, I want to include this. I don't know how because I can't just like play it and be like vibing with it. So I was like, what if I just performed it live and just DJ'd the mix?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So
I think live DJing is sick.
Oh my
especially
God.
With your own music.
Yeah, but like, oh my God, yeah, yeah. And like, it's gotten really fun because now I'm incorporating my own songs into
right.
mixtape. I don't know. It's cool. It's mixing and DJing is like a lot more laid back for me. And it's like me time. You know what I mean? There's no pressure.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so much fun. So, yeah.
And you have another song
yeah.
that released this past Friday.
Yes.
It was a collaboration with Jay Melodic
yes.
off his album Melodic.
Yes.
And it's called Bark About It.
Yes.
So in comparison to Religious and Misplaced Mind, which I think are more a little bit instrumental heavy when I was listening to them.
Yeah.
Bark About It is more electronic.
Yeah.
What was the creative process around that?
So I was working with this really talented artist. His name's Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it interesting when you're working with other people there, and he's an artist, but he also produces.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's an artist, his taste really heavily combined with mine, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
that was kind of like the both of us. We co-wrote it, and Bark About It, we tried to put that lyric in it, but it didn't fit, so we were like, let's name it that. I think that that came from more just the time that I was in like really spicy, sassy, like that was like how I was feeling at the time we made the song, and he was loving it. So I think, but as for like the vibe of it being more electronic, I kind of wanted to experiment with his vibe. He does like a lot of, not techno, I don't know what the proper word would be, but you'd have to listen to this stuff. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really interesting. It's really cool. And also singing in more of like a higher pitched voice and softer. So like mixing that soft voice with so much attitude in that song was a lot
yeah.
of fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think I would love to do more music with him and in that energy too. But I just really connect with the chill, like instrumental, like I don't know why that's my vibe. That's always how I want to. We'll be in the studio and they'll want to add drums and everything. And I'm like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's not fitting.
I think your voice on that track on Bark About It though is really nice in comparison to like the electronic stuff.
Yeah.
I think sometimes like people go a little bit overboard with like their vocals and it's just like a little bit too much.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's my favorite is when you know an artist can sing, but they just like, okay, that not me, but like you know what I'm saying? Like let's say like let's take like Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Okay. So like she obviously that girl can belt all she wants, but she's very specific about when and where she does it, and I love that. Cuz it's like it's not like she's holding back, she just doesn't have to like prove it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if she wants to sing soft, she will sing soft.
Yeah.
And I love that. So,
speaking of like changing sounds in general. Mm-hmm. The music industry, as you know, is huge and new artists coming up and there's always new genres, experimental. People are always, especially
so overwhelming.
Like, post-COVID, I feel like there's just been
so
a
much
boom of
it's
everything.
It's different. I was just thinking this the other day. I'm like, music is so fast nowadays. Mm-hmm. And not even that. I feel like people, it's less produced, which sometimes is nice. But I'm like, these songs, like, I wonder what is going to stick for, like, our children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, think about the songs that we, like, Lauryn Hill, Killing Me Softly, or, like, Benny and the Jets. Like, songs like that. Like, we still listen to those songs and that music. But I wonder what our day and age, like, what is going to stick and what's going to stay. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, obviously, like, the bigs, like, Kanye. And, you know what I mean? Like, we'll always be listening to that, but... I agree. There's so much that gets put out. Sorry, I think I interrupted you.
No, you're good. You're good. But, like, what creative direction do you have for yourself? Like, do you see yourself going, continuing with, like, the more soft and melodic or something completely different?
I have no idea.
Fair. fair.
I have no idea. That's another thing. It's the same thing with mixtapes. It's like, right, whenever you say, okay, well, I want to start doing this, and then it turns into something completely different. So I don't know. I would love to experiment with everything a little bit, but also while staying true to self. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think I'll ever be poppy. I don't really, that's not really my thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'd ever be completely R&B. Like, I don't really have that soul sound in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think just whatever is going good at the time, I guess. But I don't know. I think I would really like to experiment, though, with more anti-Rihanna, that
Ooh,
album.
Okay,
like
okay.
that. I don't know. I guess that is pop, but it's not like Sabrina Carpenter pop.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I'd say more in that direction.
I mean, you're very young and the world is your oyster.
You.
So you have a lot of time to experiment. So it'll be really interesting to see what you produce next.
Yeah.
Going back to like the boom in the industry in general, would you say like TikTok definitely influences like how music is right now? And like, does it help your creative process in any way?
I try honestly not to pay attention to it much because I feel like as much as everyone is working super hard, if you pay attention too much to what's going on, you're not focused on yourself at all, and you're only going to hurt yourself by comparing yourself to 100 million different people, you know? But to the music industry, absolutely. Like, it just dilutes music so fast. But it also is so good, and it's so beneficial, and it gets people out there in ways that were never possible before.
Mm-hmm.
But for me specifically, I just feel you can really tell when someone's being authentic with their art and when they're not. And you know what I mean? Like when it's for attention or whatever versus they really felt that. They made that and that was really them. You know what I mean? So I just feel like the most important thing for me is just staying true to self and creating stuff that goes along with and is in line with who I am and how I'm feeling.
Yeah. I think when, like, lyrics in general that have more raw emotions definitely are more relatable than those that are just, like, overplayed and just superficial.
Blue this girl, it's in my... You know what I mean? Like, they're just, like, it's, like, that's not real. You know what I mean? You don't always have to write stuff that... Most of the stuff that I write is not real-life events that happen. Some stuff is, but some stuff I'm like, where did that come from? Like, it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
It might be, like, a metaphor for something else, but, yeah, I feel like... I don't know. People will figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And with your music in general, do you take particular inspiration from some artists, whether it be like lyrics or melodies or just sounds in general? Or some people take like inspiration from like outfits or something like that, cultural impact?
Yeah. I am so heavily influenced by Lauryn Hill. Okay. I love her so much. Literally can't help it. Love her so much. I love Billie. I think everybody loves Billie. But I just love how personal her lyrics are and how she, like, really... She's, like, the most normal A-list celebrity ever. Like, she's just so, like, she's always remained true to self.
Yeah.
But her, for sure, how she writes, I love that. And, Frank Ocean, that's so... I mean, he's the best we have. That's such a standard
No, I love Frank Ocean.
Yeah, and then I also listen to a lot of rap, too.
Okay.
So, but I like the rawness in that, too. I remember not understanding, like... I was like, I don't get why people like rap music. Mm-hmm. But now I get it. Like, it's just, like, it's that's real, too. So, but yeah, I'd say most specifically Lauryn Hill, Jasmine Sullivan. Love her so much. Ariana, I just adore her. Mm-hmm. I've always loved her since I was younger. More like for her off like personality more than anything. I think, you know, I got more attached to her as a human being than her music. I still like her music, but yeah, I'd say those are mainly my influence. Outfits, I don't know. I also model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I do that full time for financial reasons.
You are very busy.
Yeah, so but I think that the people I work with has affected me mostly with fashion, and once you get into that industry, it's hard not to be like, ooh, I want to wear this and wear this. But yeah,
that's pretty incredible that you model and make music.
Thank you.
Do you think it's hard to balance the two when you have time?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because both are so time consuming.
Yeah,
you know, like if you're doing a day of work modeling, it's I'm a night owl, okay?
Same.
So it's horrible. I hate waking up. But for work, I'll, you know, call times probably like 8 in the morning. I don't get home until 6. I also go to the gym a lot. So it's like afterwards, I'll go work out. It's already 8, 9 p.m. by the time I ate and did whatever else, did laundry, packed for tomorrow. I'm like, oh, I still want to work on this for me. You know what I mean? And then next thing you know, if I sometimes I have to be disciplined and be like, no, I have to get up in the morning because if I start something, I'm not going to sleep until like 4 in the morning. I usually lose that battle and do work on it. But yeah, it's definitely really, really tough dividing up time for the two. And they're both so competitive and hard industries, but I love it. So I wouldn't change anything.
For sure. And when you say that when you're working on music, would you say that like you're the type of like musician to need to like sit down and really concentrate to produce something, or do you have things just like come to you on the spot and then you're like, I'll remember that?
Again, with my 1600 words, I think things come to me a lot, but also like when you're in a studio, it happens there too, very naturally and organically. I'd say a little bit of both. I definitely like to sit with it, but lyrics specifically, like when I'm writing, I have to be comfortable, have to be around people I'm comfortable, because it's, you know, a very personal thing.
Yeah.
And I'd say, I don't know, it kind of just comes to you and then you rock with it. And then if I need inspiration, I'll go back into my notes or, you know, something like that. But I'd say a little bit of both. Like if we were driving in the car right now and we put on a beat, I could probably freestyle a song for you.
Okay.
But it's better when you spend time on it and sit with it and are like, okay, I want to say this as this, you know.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Circling back to your love for like rap too. Would you ever incorporate like rap verses, whether it be like from someone else on your songs in the future?
I don't know. That's a good question. It would have to make sense.
Okay.
Like I feel like with my, like you've heard it, like I couldn't have like Lil Durk on there. Like that's not, you know what I mean? Like that's definitely not going to happen. I can't see myself ever rapping, but I also wouldn't like knock it and say that I would never, because I'm just very, I'd try it for sure. Like just cause, but I don't think my voice would really, I just have like a, I don't have the voice for it, for that specifically, I don't think. But I would love to collaborate with someone who raps for sure. But it would have to make sense. Like I wouldn't just do it, like I wouldn't just be like, I want Lil Wayne on here for some clout. Like, no, I couldn't do that. It would have to be like very natural, you know?
Yeah. Do you have, like, a dream collaboration with any artist?
I would love to work with... Let me
think? That's a really good question. I don't think I've ever thought about that.
Really?
No, I don't think I've ever really been like, oh, I want to work with. I think there's people I'd love to work with, but to be like this person, I'd like absolutely. I would love to work with SZA, Billy.
SZA.
Yeah. The Weeknd would be really cool. Drake, he just, you know, he just got flamed, but I feel like he fits into like everyone. Kanye, I would love to work with Kanye. He's so controversial. I don't care.
Yeah,
he can never make me hate him. I love him so much. Yeah, I would do him. Anderson .Paak would be really cool. Yeah, I'd probably say those people, but no one who's like, I'm like, oh my god, I would actually like sell my left arm to work with them. But yeah, any of those would be so dope.
I think all those artists are also super versatile, so I think it'd be really sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're all, I'm naming all the people who are like most known, but yeah.
Do you have a particular album that like you were grew up on or something that's just really touching to you?
I'd say nothing that I grew up like been listening to forever, but I do have a couple that I always come back to. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be Damn by Kendrick Lamar. Not a specific album, but I always come, or actually, yeah. What is that? Or 17 by X, I come back to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yay by Kanye West, I come back to all the time. I don't know, but I think those are heavy influences on me for sure.
All really good picks.
Yeah, yeah. Love those. Love those so much. Actually, you know what? X, if he was still here, that would be my dream collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be sick.
I love him.
Just in general, like, what has been your favorite experience as a musician so far?
My favorite experience, probably performing, my first time performing.
Okay.
Where
did you perform?
I performed in Philly. I performed at my friend Todd. He's starting to throw these events called the Calm Shindig.
Okay.
Like, it's so,
that's a sick name.
Yeah, it's so dope. He has like a whole lineup of like artists who are up and coming. And they had me as spotlight performer, which surprised me because I was like, yo, I got like two songs out. You know what I mean? So I'm just performing a bunch of unreleased. But that was probably the most fulfilling moment I've had because it was like music has always been like it just feels so like, oh, it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
But then seeing other people who like knew the words or singing it back to me and like, you know, having someone to connect with, like, that was like, wow, like, this is more than just, like, me sitting in my basement making music. Like, other people really feel this. And that was a really, really cool feeling.
Yeah.
So I'd say probably that.
That is really dope. Just performing in general in front of so many people.
Yeah.
Was that your first, that was your first time performing?
Yeah, first time performing ever.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any upcoming shows in the future?
Nothing coming up right now. I think I'd want to wait until I have, I mean, there's opportunities to do so, but I just don't take them mainly because I'm like, I want it to be like when I have more music and more prepared, but I would love to. That was the coolest thing in the world. I mean, it's just wild because I've always been in the audience looking up and you're like, I mean, half the time you're not even singing or dancing the song. You're just looking at them like, wow, like this human being, like I really connect with them. You know, so to be that person who was like able to connect with people and I don't know, it was I can't even explain it, you know, and there was probably like 60 to 70 people there. I don't know. There was a lot of heads for sure. And it was probably the most fulfilling moment of music so far. I'd say that. Yeah.
That's really amazing, though.
Yeah.
I think having so many people look up to you is really fulfilling.
Yeah. It's strange, though, because I feel like it's, I don't know, I guess that's what being an artist is, though. People look to you for confidence and influence, but I never really saw it that way until I performed.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'd say that the best moment in music is every time I finish a project.
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, figure something out. I'm like, that's the best feeling, too.
Hi, this is Kenny
and Amanda Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Jalem, Jalem, Lungone, the
Omen, Maladi. Calero mensa.
Oh, Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for, harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet, or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Thank you. ainsi. Le temps de ma jeunesse, je me divertissais autant qu'homme de noblesse.
Aux quatre coins de la table, du vin rouge et du blanc,
j'en buvais à ma soif en me divertissant.
J'en buvais à ma soif en me divertissant.
Un soir m'a pris d'envie d'aller voir ma maîtresse. Je la trouve sur son lit, qu'elle pleure et bien sans cesse.
Oh, garde donc la belle, car vous attend pleurer.
Vos amitiés, la belle, auraient-elles pu changer?
Vos amitiés, la belle, auraient-elles pu changer?
J'ai entendu parler de bien des choses que vous déviez partout, d'un cabaret à l'autre.
Que ce serait la belle, cela vous fait de rien.
Vos amitiés, la belle, seront toujours les miennes.
Vos amitiés, la belle, seront toujours les miennes.
Galant, j'ai entendu encore bien d'autres choses. Que vous fassiez l'amour à moi comme bien à d'autres.
Que ce serait la belle, cela vous fait de rien.
Vos amitiés, la belle, seront toujours les miennes.
Vos amitiés, la belle, seront toujours les miennes.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. Today we are joined by Jay Melodic, an accomplished producer hailing from Philadelphia, who has produced with the likes of Tierra Whack and Pink Sweats. He just released his album, Melodic, on May 31st, available everywhere now. Welcome everyone, Jay Melodic.
Hi everybody, how you doing?
Now, Melodic is, I believe, your first album that you're releasing yourself. What vision did you have for this particular project, and what does this album mean to you?
The project really just came from an idea to have these two writing camps. We did writing camps in Philadelphia, New Jersey, hosted by Bread and Butter Management. So the idea was really just a rough one. We started with the camps. We sat down one day and was just like, you know, we have some really good songs. We should think about putting an album out. And so we kind of tabled the idea for a second, and then we kind of picked the conversation back up. And from there, it just started happening. So it really wasn't a vision, more so I can say, but I believe once we actually got to the planning phase, it was just something that represented me, something that represented my versatility and just the different genres of music that I like to dive into.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is your first album, so like it must have felt surreal to release something on your own, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that it was like, it's the dream that I never knew that I had. So I never really ever thought about putting out my own album before. But once the conversation started, I really just was very excited about it, and just realized that this is something that I don't just want to do one time, that I want to continue this and keep on releasing music this way.
Yeah, for sure. And when I was listening through Melodic, it has a lot of songs from different genres. From what I've heard and like my like personal reaction, I saw that like Kissing Games has like an infectious alté beat, and like Pleaser is light and showers you kind of more in brightness. And then Harder is like a soothing R&B track that you started off with. And it's like, I find it's pretty rare for an album in general, like especially your first album, to have like such a wide range of different songs. What compelled you to make so many tracks of different genres instead of sticking to one particular one?
Honestly, I made a lot of the records at different times. So it was really, I think, it was kind of like a dream come true in this sense too, where there were artists that came to these camps that immediately when I heard their voices or I saw like their style of writing, it kind of just was like, oh, I have this beat that would be perfect for them. And so I gathered a few and sent them over to the artist, or had the artist, and then some of them recorded it live in the studio. Most all of the ideas stem from the camp, so some of them took them home and finished them up, but for the most part, I just kind of had something in my head that I heard when I heard their voices, and then they just kind of took it and ran with it.
So when you say that, like, you had something in your head and then you built it something off of that, right? Would you say, like, mainly your creative process when you're producing songs or creating songs, it's something more instantaneous, or do you have to sit on something for it to really develop?
No, I'm really one of those producers where I, like, once I start, I try to finish as much as the idea as possible. And when I'm done, I'm done. So like, I rarely ever go back to some of the produced tracks, unless there's something that like I can't get out of my head, and I might try it and it might still not work. But for the most part, when I'm done, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. How do you know when the track is actually like finished for you and you know this is the one that you want to release?
I mean, that's a funny question, because like I feel like producers can kind of agree with this, is like whenever is the right time to stop, you know? Like, it's like you can stop a couple tracks in and a couple instruments in, or you can be 50 or 60 in and it still not be done either. So it's, I think you just have that feeling, you know, when you get to a point where you're like, if I add any more, this might just be overkill. And I think that it's like a sweet spot almost. And I think once you get there, I think that's like a great place to kind of just let it go.
Yeah.
As far as like releasing those songs, I think we, in this process, we didn't look at like, you know, what's popular, what's trendy. I think we really just had feelings about these songs that these songs were things that we wanted people to hear and wanted them to enjoy it as much as we did as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And producing is always has like, I would say every producer has their own different style. And I know that you take inspiration from Pharrell and Kanye West. How do you think that that has influenced you in general, like their producing styles versus your own?
Tremendously, just growing up and listening just to the maturation of their styles, I think that I've taken a little bit of, I guess, the decades that we've kind of had them now, those two in particular, just how their styles have kind of changed over the years. And I think I kind of growing up since I've loved them since I was younger, I think listening to their styles. And then when I got into producing myself, I'm like,